Happy Sunday, everybody. Hey, I want to welcome those of you who are joining us online. We're so glad you're with us. I'd also like to welcome all four of our campuses, South San Jose, Sunnyvale, Fremont, North San Jose. We are so incredibly grateful for technology and the privilege that we have to be one church in multiple locations. God is doing amazing things in our midst. It's been a fantastic day, all of our services. And I love this anonymous series because I think it fits so much with what God is doing in our church, what God is doing in our generation. And today you're going to be blessed. I love how when we come together, God wants to meet us wherever we are. And there are so many people at our church who are at way different places. People are exploring faith, people who've been followers of Jesus for a long time. And God has what you need today. He wants to meet you and he wants to change your life. And I believe he's going to do that. So I'm excited to introduce our guest speaker today. Our guest speaker is a good friend of mine. Actually, I met him a decade ago when I was 12 years old. We were at a conference as a church. It's called the Catalyst Conference. And we were taking close to like 100 people to this conference. And there was a leader there who actually was the leader of the Catalyst Conference. And, you know, when there are that many people there, like, well, who's this church? Who are there? All these crazy people that are there. So Brad was leading Catalyst at the time, came up. That movement, Catalyst, changed the face of our church. The influence and the leadership there changed, gave us ideas and vision for what God could do here in the Bay Area. So Brad became a good friend. He coached me along the way, mentored me. Now he actually leads an organization called Blink. They work with CEOs, with entrepreneurs, coaches, leaders. He's a fantastic leader. He's a fantastic mentor. He also sits on the board of Echo Church. So if you don't like me and you would like to get me fired, here's your chance. So you can meet him today in the lobby at North San Jose. Just go up, start the impeachment process, see how that goes. So Brad's going to do an amazing job. I want to encourage you to lean in. He actually loves feedback. So if there's something he says that's really good, like just say, you know, and you can say distracting, like that's good. If you want to go real churchy, you can say amen, but that's easy. That's like, you know, give some effort, like say, back it up and dump it, or, you know, 4-3, you know, try it out a little bit. He'll love it. Let's give a warm Echo Church welcome to my good friend Brad Lominick as he comes to the stage.
Come on. Back it up and dump it. Back it up and dump it. Hey, it's so good to be here. Impeachment, that's too soon, man. Too soon on the impeachment thing. Although if you do want to get rid of Andy, I mean, just come talk to me. Because I can fire your pastor, although I would never do that. Can we just give it up for our senior pastor, Andy Wood? I love Andy and his wife, Stacy, and the whole team here. In fact, let's just celebrate for a second what's happening at Echo. And this church is on the move. It's a great day to be in church, but it's a great day to be part of the church. And your church, you may be the first time here, you're like, who are you? Who's that guy? I don't know anything that's happening. Grandma drug me in, or my neighbor drug me with feet still like trying to not be in the room. But wherever you are, just understand that this church is making a difference in the lives of people in this area. So that's something to celebrate. Like, you can clap for that. We can be excited that not only are we being impacted, right? You're here because you want God to speak to you, but we are impacting this community, this area, this part of the country, this region. So I'm just honored to be a part. I'm honored to be on the board. I'm honored to help direct as much as I can some of the things happening here. And I do like feedback. So preach it, white boy.
Back it up.
Dump truck. I'm a basketball fan, so buckets. Like when, you know, if you hear something you like, buckets. Swish, nothing but net, anything you want to give me. Like, come on, we're okay with that. We can be verbal. So we're in this series, Anonymous, right? Anonymous. Last week was the first week of this series of Anonymous. What is Anonymous? What does that mean? Some of you, your life is anonymous. Like, you're in the shadows. Nobody knows who you are. You're in a season of in the corner. Some of you haven't had an anonymous moment in years because everything you do is on display. It's on Instagram. It's on Facebook. So we're all kind of walking in with different realities of what anonymous means to us. And here's the good news, though. Wherever you walk in, Anonymous can feel like a curse. It can feel like, wait, is that something I'm supposed to strive for or lean into? Yes, Anonymous can be a season that allows for God to shape us. And the seasons of anonymity can be the places where God works on us the most. Unseen does not equal unimportant. Unseen does not equal unimportant. Some of us, we feel unseen in this season. Brad, nobody knows I exist. I walk into work on Monday. I'm so far down the totem pole of influence. I'm unseen. If I didn't show up, I don't think anybody would even care. I don't have any friends that really are paying attention to my life. But unseen does not equal unimportant. God's working in your life, whether you realize it or not, to shape you into who he wants you to become, even in the place where you haven't arrived there yet. Unseen is not unimportant. And we're looking at the life of Jesus, which we should. And here's the thing about Jesus's life, which we set it up this past week, and let me set it up for us even more today. I'm getting some feedback, so if somebody needs to adjust me or do something, I know I've got some breath happening. I'll try to keep that from happening. But Matthew 3:16, if you were here last week, we looked at this part of Scripture. Matthew 3:16, 17, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, heavens opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." Some of you have been baptized here at Echo Church. Who's had a baptism moment? Yeah, several of you. I promise you, your baptism didn't compare to this one. You didn't have doves flying around. The Spirit of God didn't descend. I mean, it was a holy moment, but this was a holy moment. This was the ultimate baptism experience. When Jesus came out of the water, it was like his public ministry was now on display. It was a powerful pinnacle point. But here's what's interesting, which is where we're going to head for the next few minutes. Here's what's interesting. What happens next? The next verse, Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted there by the devil. What? Really? Wait, no, Brad, back up the story. Hold on a second. What? We just had the pinnacle moment, like doves descending, the Spirit is moving, there's worship songs, like, and then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Really? I thought obedience led to this life being easier. I thought that once I hit the pinnacle, I was going to just move into places that would be more in line with God's will on my life. And here's the reality. The Spirit of God can lead us into a desert. We can actually move from the pinnacle now into the wasteland. What feels like is true to us. And this is hard because so many of us walking in this morning, we feel like there's something in the future, but right now we're still in that season where we're being prepared, where we're being groomed, where we're in the shadows. Nobody knows we exist. Nobody knows we're here. Sometimes God puts you, again, think of baptism, then Spirit leading me into the desert. Sometimes God puts us in a situation where the gap cannot be closed, no matter how hard we try. So, Anonymous, many times, Echo Church, is that place where the Spirit leads us into the wilderness. So here's context as well. Not only is Anonymous a gift and a season we might be in, but the desert, that wilderness, can actually also be our friend. Really? Yeah, I think, and I've read this passage of Scripture many times over the course of my life, but I think just now God is revealing to me that Jesus was led into the Spirit to be prepared for the temptation. In fact, him being in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights was the reason he could put up with the temptation. I don't think Jesus was curled up in a ball for that amount of time, just trying to limp his way, weak and feeble. He wasn't just limping his way to the cage match with the devil and thinking, I just hope I can win. No, the season of being in the desert was actually preparation. The Spirit didn't lead Jesus into the desert so he could be tempted. The Spirit led Jesus into the desert because he was about to be tempted. Sometimes the desolate places, the desert, the wilderness in our lives, is the place where we're being prepared. It's the place where God's doing work in our life. It's the dark room. It's the shadows. And this was where Jesus, it wasn't torture being in the wilderness, it was tactics. It wasn't strenuous, it was strategy. In the wilderness, in the desert, Jesus was not depleted, he was actually being energized for this season that was about to be put on him. And here's the good news, and we're going to get practical here in a second, but again, echo, the good news is that Jesus, as our Savior, for those of us who follow him, he identifies with us. He is with us. He has gone through baptism. He has resisted temptation. He has dealt with temptation. He has overcome temptation. He's been in the wilderness. And so when we're there, he's with us. He understands. Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Write this one down. No temptation is overtaking you except what is common to mankind.
And God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. James 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm just giving you context. James 1, 2, 3, 4. Consider it pure joy. Really? Pure joy? Yeah. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials, temptations, when you're in the desert of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith in those seasons produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be made mature and complete, not lacking anything. So this is context. This is context. Baptism, doves, then Jesus is led into the wilderness. He understands where we are. He identifies with us. So let's keep going. Matthew 4, 2 through 4. This is the story of where we find ourselves in this part of the series, the temptation. Here we go. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. Hashtag duh. I can't go 40 minutes. 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted and became very hungry. This is one of those parts of scripture that I think God just sort of smirks at. It's like, you get it, right? Like, you get it. He became very hungry. Yeah. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. No. I think it was a no. I don't think it was a no. I think it was a get behind me, Satan. No. People don't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. The temptation that was put in front of Jesus at this point was the temptation of appetite. And the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about the three temptations, but let's spend a few minutes on this one, the temptation of appetite. Appetite. We know what that is, right? Like hunger pains, hello. But it's more than just hunger pains. It's more than solving the current pain point of feed me. It's also the appetite for power. It's the appetite for prestige. It's the appetite for success. It's the appetite for more. It's the appetite for what I don't have yet, but I really want. So it's bigger than just what am I hungry for? And here's what's true. For every lie, for every temptation, for every point when the devil shows up in our life and tries to feed us a lie, there is a truth from God that frees us. For every lie that the devil tries to put in front of us, there's a truth from God that frees us. And the question I think that's happening in this moment for Jesus, it's not just about hunger. I mean, I'm hungry 40 days and 40 nights. I need some of those bread carbs, like Olive Garden bread carbs moment. Like I take the whole basket of bread and just consume it, right? None of you have ever done that, right? It wasn't just about to meet that desire and the pain. It was the question of who do I trust? That was really the thing that Jesus was wrestling with in this moment of temptation. Who do I trust? Do I trust my Father in heaven? Or do I trust the thing that's being put in front of me to solve what feels like most important in this moment? So how did Jesus overcome the temptation of appetite? This is where I hope that it gets practical for you. How did Jesus overcome the temptation of appetite? How do we overcome the temptation of appetite? Number one was this. Jesus was clear about his deepest desires. He was clear about his deepest desires. Being anonymous requires proper understanding of identity. Am I comfortable with an appetite for more, but I'm actually content in this current season? And so many times, Echo, and especially those of you who carry something, if you run a business, if you are an entrepreneur, when you start carrying more, your identity starts to get messed with. And the question that we want to always wrestle with is our identity should be the same no matter what season we're in. Regardless of whether I'm in the shadows or I'm in the spotlight, whether I'm in the dark room or I'm in the corner office, my identity should be unchanging. And Jesus knew what his identity was. He knew what he wanted most. As a result, he chose what he wanted most over what he wanted now. Here's what's true, practically. The more I know where I'm going, the more I can resist the temptations in the now. Temptation shrinks when we have clarity about where we're going. When we have mission and focus and clarity about the kind of person we want to become, then all the things that might be in our ear tempting us, or in our hearts or in our lives tempting us, they tend to get removed. The question you want to be asking, what kind of person do you and I want to be 10 years from now? That will help you navigate the question of desire. And we've all had seasons where, if we were honest, boy, that was a tough question to ask or answer. I've had those 5 years ago for me. It wasn't a 10-year journey, but 5 years ago, I was in a season where I was unhealthy. I weighed about 80 pounds more than I do now. If you saw a picture, you would be like, who is that guy? It was like pudgy Brad. And nothing wrong with being pudgy, but there were reasons for my pudginess because I was in a place of being unhealthy. I mean, I was a leader. I was running an organization, as Andy said, called Catalyst. We were like gathering leaders and doing leadership conferences. But if I was honest, my identity had started to shift and I was becoming unhealthy as a leader. In fact, my team, I know this is not true for any of you because you're all saints, but my team had a nickname for me. It was Darb. You know what Darb is? You know, but here's what it is. It's Brad spelled backwards. And they called me Darb, like, without me knowing. And here's what Darb was to them. Darb was this like, intense, discouraging, I'll get you to the summit, I'll get you to the mountain, but I know we're going to go there, and it's going to be not fun. Yikes, my identity had started to shift because of the season I was in. The more pressure, the more weight of that season, the more I felt like I wasn't clear on where I was headed. And this may be true for you. Like, so many times we know leaders who who in some seasons early on, they were one way, and now that they're in the spotlight, they're somebody totally different. We have to be careful of this. We have to be weary of this and wary of this, Echo. Don't allow your identity to change based on the season that you're in. But I did lose actually 75 pounds. I mean, that's like, come on, you can give me some verbal feedback. I'm not looking for it, but Pudgy Brad doesn't exist anymore. And the reason was, I knew where I was going. When I said 5 years from now, I want to be weighing about 180, you know what happened? That mission, that sense of clarity, that sense of direction, no longer did the chips and salsa create the desire in me that I had to overcome on a constant basis. I could say no to the guac. I could say no to Olive Garden bread basket, but it's good, right? The bread basket's good at Olive Garden. But the reason I could say no was because the clarity I had of where I was going, the deepest desires. Here's number two. Jesus knew the Father's voice. Remember what we just read from Matthew? But Jesus told him no. Jesus told the devil, no. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. There was something bigger that Jesus was tuned into. There was something more powerful that Jesus was tuned into because he could hear the Father's voice. Some of us, the practical thing we need to take away from being here today at any of the locations is this: you've got to remove the noise. If you remove the noise, then the Father's voice will start to penetrate. But we got so much noise in our life that we're not allowing the Father's voice to be heard by us. Jesus was in tune with the Father's voice. So what does that mean? It means that you might need to find some quiet places to get away. You might need to put some new habits in place. You might need to take walks. Whatever it looks like for you to find the place where the Father's voice can push through. Take time to be quiet. Prayer walks. Your journaling. What does it look like for you to put in a habit of daily Bible reading? What will I do to make a habit of daily Bible reading? That's a place to start. Because the more we start to create habits that we put in place, the more we'll be able to hear the Father's voice. Remove yourself from environments that tempt you. Guard your heart with the Word of God. Move away from things that are not pure, that will lead you towards things that are. Same is true for me. Like, okay, great, Brad. Thanks for that helpful advice on losing weight. You had a mission. You wanted to get there 5 years from now, but what did you put in place habits-wise? Well, it required some changes in my lifestyle to be able to lose 75 pounds. And this is what we need to think about. What will you do to put in place habits that allow you to hear the Father's voice more and more and more? Habits, they're so important. Practically, taking prayer walks, finding that 5 minutes. I know your lives are busy, but you have to be really intentional about putting this into practice. And then the third thing, and again, I hope these are helpful, they're practical, they're things you can put in place. Jesus overcame the temptation of appetite by trusting the Father's timing. This might be the hardest. Trusted the Father's timing. Anonymity, it's seasonal. It's cooperating with God to choose what God wants for me now, knowing there will be more later, perhaps. But I must choose to trust God's timing. Fast fame. We've seen it with a lot of our friends around here. Fast fame, rocket ship of success, is many times the fastest to fade. Okay, that's great, Brad, but what are you telling me to do? I'm saying this, that the season you're in, you might want to fast forward it, but trust that God's timing is perfect. Especially for those of us who are younger. Man, I love young leaders. I'm for you. But you want it not just overnight. You want it like now, like 5 minutes from now. And sometimes God's timing is longer than that. You need to trust that. Are we willing to trust the Father's timing and that it is actually perfect timing? I'll use myself as an example. I was 22, graduating from the University of Oklahoma back in the early days of mankind when I was in college. I was a history major. I was that annoying student that tried to win all the awards and, you know, like big man on campus. That I was that annoying guy. And I did, because I was so driven. And I thought that the season of influence was on me right then. 22, history major. I wanted to go into politics. I was going to be the chief of staff for the senator from the state of Oklahoma in Oklahoma City by the time I was 25. That was sort of like, that was the dream, right? So again, none of you are driven. So I'll use myself as the guinea pig here, right? And I'm 22, and for some reason, God connected me to this ranch in Colorado through a friend. And I thought, you know what? I'll go play cowboy for 6 months. That sounds cool. It sounds fun. Like a little season of fun in between getting to the what's next, right? And at 25, remember, I was supposed to be like the chief of staff for the senator. You know what I was doing at 25? Now, this ranch I was working on had 140 horses. You know what horses do? They eat, and then they... 25. Oh, Brad, like, this dream. God's timing. Here's what I was doing at 25. You know what this is, right? Some of you have never been on a ranch or a farm, but those of you who have, explain to your neighbor what happens when horses do their thing. This was me. Oh, what happened to that dream? What happened to that senator's chief of staff, 25? Well, there's actually a lot of similarities between politics and... I'll get impeached for that. Yeah, thousands, hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of little small horse makings. That was my life. And just to encourage you, because some of you are there right now, and you feel like, man, the timing, really, God, is this the timing that you're going to give me? I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to be in your will. I'm trying to do what's right. And I just remember that moment and God saying, no, Brad, like, there may be something on you in the future, but my timing right now requires that you scoop the poop. And you scoop the poop with such precision and passion and excellence and faithfulness and stick-with-itness and perseverance and passion and excellence that if there was a Olympics for pooper scooping, you would win the gold medal. If there was a World Cup, you're getting invited. If there was a Super Bowl, you're winning it. And it was, for me, just a mindset that whatever season I'm in, I've got to trust that God's timing is perfect and that He has me in this season to maybe scoop the poop in the shadows. Nobody knows who you are. No, I'm anonymous. I'm out here in the middle of nowhere, but you know what? God is forming me into the person He wants me to become. So at some point, perhaps, there will be a season where you might stand, Brad, in front of thousands of leaders at a Catalyst conference and release the next generation in Jesus' name. But until then, scoop the poop. you go be the best pooper scooper. Because here's what is true about the timing for Jesus in this moment. It wasn't about what Jesus would eat as much it was about when Jesus would eat. The Father's timing. Jesus could have taken that stone, turned it into bread, like that. So easy. Jesus could have said, no, I need some carbs. That stone, that is an endless supply of Olive Garden bread. No, no, no. It wasn't about what he would eat as much as about when he would eat it. Where is God telling you and I to trust his timing? Where is God telling you and I to trust his timing? So this is the wrap up. Simply this. Jesus knew what he could do with a stone, right? Oh, that stone, instant gratification, instant hunger removal. But Jesus knew there was a bigger purpose in the future. There was a bigger stone that needed to be rolled away in order for salvation to come to those who've believed. So regardless, Echo, of where you are, temptation, you may be walking in a day going, Brad, temptation took me out last night. Jesus gives us hope because he rolled the stone away. He provides salvation in him. Regardless of where you are, know that he has been there. He understands. He's been with you. He's got empathy for you in this season. So, listen to the Father's voice. Trust his timing. Know his desires and the mission for you. Anonymous, it's a gift. The desert is a place for you to be prepared. Go be faithful. Whatever you're walking into tomorrow, you go scoop the poop, you go run that business, you go be that mom, you go be a neighbor, and trust God's timing on your life. He rolled the stone away. He could have said, come on, like, give me some bread. No, there was a bigger stone that he had his eye on. So Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that you give us hope and life. Because you didn't say yes to the stone that could have solved the immediate need, but yet you waited on the stone that would allow us to have life in you. We're grateful. We're thankful. Speak to us now in each a personal way of what you would want us to do with this idea of anonymous. We're asking that in your name. Amen.